Welcome to the Double Deuce Podcast, an amazing show that lasts only 22 minutes and is for you, the listener, so soak it up. So here are your two big beer hosts, Will Averill and Nelson. Hey, Will, hit the timer.
And we're in.
Double Deuce.
We're here. I haven't actually started my clock yet because I'm behind on a thing, but we're doing this and we've got a special guest today. It's Clem Spurtlock. You might remember him from such bands as that one you heard the one time.
Yeah, and those other guys from the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our demographic bands, those guys from the 90s.
Those guys from the 90s, like, those are our people, mm-hmm. Clip.
I'm also from the 90s, which is why you might remember me from those guys from the 90s. Real quickly before we get started, is it cool if I smoke in here, or are you guys going to be dicks about it?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say no. Nah, we could step outside. I didn't think about asking if you needed a smoke break before we got started. I apologize.
Should we take an early smoke break?
We could.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
It's
a line I stole from Mr. Show that I like to use to break the ice.
Yeah, that's good.
It sounded familiar.
Yeah. Because we hate the moon.
Yes.
Cliff, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you doing, Will?
I'm doing good. Good. It's been a long week, but just sort of getting by. That's my mode. How about you, Nelson?
Yeah. Getting by.
Wow, this is a dynamic start to the podcast.
Woo!
Yeah,
slow down.
Yeah, stay tuned.
You're gonna make my tummy upset.
Cliff, you play drums.
I do.
Is that hard?
No, if it was hard, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Okay, when you play drums, what is the thing that you're sometimes like, oh, I hope I didn't forget this. Like sometimes when you're practicing for like your driving exam, you're like, oh, I hope I remembered to put the rearview mirror the right direction. I hope I remembered the side view mirrors. When you're drumming, what's the equivalent of that?
I hope I remembered to bring some sticks.
Right. Like, who is the best person you've ever drummed with?
Like, best human being? Or
yes.
My favorite music?
Well, the best human being you've ever drummed with.
Best human being would be Griff Rees, easily. Because okay. He's one of the best human beings.
Who is the worst human being?
I think a lot of people that know my history would probably know what that answer will be. And
you don't have to answer if you don't want to. It seems like a call out answer. Like,
yeah. And actually, you know what? I take that back. That person that most people probably know who I'm referring to actually wasn't the worst, but I'm not going to mention who the worst is because that person lives in this town and I've been really lucky so far not to run into them. And I feel if I so much as utter their name that somehow they're going to be hanging out at the house across the street, and they're going to attach themselves at the hip to me, and I'm going to be stuck with them for the last 3 days I'm here.
Yeah, white tough fate.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say that it's a person that most of you listening to this don't know, so don't worry about it.
Cliff,
are they not big in England? We've got a large England listenership.
No, this person has never been big anywhere except in their own imagination.
Okay.
So Cliff, if I'm correct, when you're drumming, there's like there are time signatures, right?
Yeah, there are.
Are they metric? And are there like is there kilometers and time signatures of drumming? Like you have to drum differently in England.
Yeah,
they're like
do they do
oh,
it with
you
stone
can't,
again
you can't do
or
three,
some other kind of
three,
rock?
3-4 kilometer beats.
Yeah, no. Whereas I used to count in free
32 silver pennies a minute.
No, it's remarkably the same over there. Even though I thought, yeah, going from VHS to going from God damn it, going from PAL to NTSC.
Yes, but, you got there, and that was like hard nerd. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I thought going from NTSC to PAL would be more of an adjustment, but
right.
It turns out music's kind of mostly the same wherever you go.
Yeah.
I mean, if you stay within predominantly white European colonized countries.
Is it like with math, how you could talk to aliens with math? Could you talk to them with music because it's math? Is that why they do that in that what was that one where with Steven Spielberg and the aliens?
Oppenheimer.
And they play the keyboards at each other. and nobody has sex.
Dear listeners, I just made Louis Gerlach spit out his water.
Yep.
The Oppenheimer reference.
I apologize if I just ruined your mic, Nelson.
No, you're good.
This session is going well.
It is.
I think it's our best podcast ever.
At least this week.
I feel like we put you on the spot, and I'm sorry for that. It's just we don't often have.
No,
like,
you guys were very kind and put me on a chair, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Most of the time, it's just the two of us over Zoom, like gassing back and forth. Like a couple
oh,
of
I know.
Movies.
I've heard it.
Ah, you have. My mom listened, dude. Did I tell you that?
She does sometimes.
She does.
Hi, Mom. Yeah, hi, Will's mom.
Yeah. No, she apparently, like, she was on the way back from Wichita, and she was, like, listening to our podcast. So,
You want to know one of my favorite things about your mom?
Oh, boy.
She has never slapped the shit out of me for all the comments I make about your mom on Facebook.
You know, she...
And I feel I've crossed the line a couple of times.
She's used to it. I feel like if she... If you would, I feel like you and she would really get along. Actually,
have all the times I've been around her.
Yeah, she really like has a heart for like sort of weirdos. So I think she'd totally dig you.
Kind of has one for her son.
Oh,
fair enough.
She's never slapped me for any comments. I don't say that much online about your mom, but. I feel like I've still got slap credit because I was in a play with her in high school and I got slapped in the play and she would just go to town.
Wait, did she slap you?
Yeah, she would slap me for being sassy.
Like, as a director?
She was in it. She played our mom.
Oh.
We had a couple adults.
So it was
her and it was, why can't I think of his name, played our dad, who was a wizard who'd gone crazy and blind.
So he was
from Kansas City.
Chris something.
Wasn't yeah. It? Yeah, it was. I don't remember. It's been so long and I haven't seen him since at least the early 2000s. I think I ran into him at some point. I don't know. But yeah, and luckily the day we rehearsed that scene hard, I had to go to the dentist to get a filling. Actually, I got out like a couple classes and came back. And so that side of my face was pretty numb. Luckily. Nice. Luckily. Because yeah, she didn't hold back.
Yeah.
When no stage slappings.
She slapped you hard.
She slapped me hard. So yeah, I paid my slap tax.
She slapped you like you were her own son.
I'm slowly getting my slap return paid out and not getting slapped by your mom ever anymore. I gave it the office.
Anyway, Miss Averill, everything I say online, I hope you know, is just in good fun.
Wow. And that begs the question, how much does Cliff stay online?
Every opportunity I get, I'm not going to lie. Every opportunity.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fair.
I feel of all my friends' moms, she is the one least likely to beat me up for making your mom jokes.
I think that's fair. She has there are few people whose ass she has kicked, and I can count them on one hand. And most of it has to do with sort of my sister's antics because she is
I'm sorry, Miss Averill, but I must lay part of the blame on you because I forget what the whole post was about, but there was something where Will said, my mom told my dad if he wanted to get with this, he had to blah, blah, blah. And I made a comment like, well, I'd blah, blah, blah to get with your mom too, Will. And Mrs. Averill, you laugh reacted at that, which I took as encouragement.
So oh, God.
I'm
oh
sorry.
Oh, God. You know, no. That's, please.
It's all right. I think she's into it. It's like when the Fonz would flirt with Mrs. Cunningham.
Into it. You know, I don't want to speculate. This is actually extraordinarily.
We're of an age where we grew up and they watched lot of sitcoms where the son's friend would flirt with the mom.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. That's just sociology. The world we were raised in.
And social media.
I'm not saying it was a good world. I'm not saying it was a right world.
I'm just saying there's a small possibility. We are products of our environment. There's a small possibility Cliff Scurlock is my father. Is that what we're saying here?
No.
Seeing that I'm only about 9 months older than you, I'm going to say probably not.
Okay.
Granted, I'm not. Okay.
Well, your mom should be in jail.
I did not master in biology, so I could be wrong.
Right.
But I don't think the human body starts producing the things needed to produce another human body.
You gotta be at least 1 year old.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like, before we even look at the science, you gotta be at least 1 year old.
Thank you, because that got a little awkward there for a second, and I'm glad.
Here's the thing, I think it's higher. I'm pretty sure it's higher, but I don't want anyone who's an expert coming after us. So.
But there's also the thing that I thought your dad was your brother when I first met
him. Oh, Jesus Christ. So, really? Oh. Oh, it hurts. The hurt. I'll get over it.
It was more like I thought he looked really young for his age.
He's a young-looking guy.
But I feel that also has saved me from getting slapped by him. By making comments about his wife on Facebook, because he was like that one time, like, "Oh, you must be Will's brother," and he's like, "Aw, actually, I'm his dad, but aw, aren't you sweet?"
You know what I love, Cliff, is that you keep sort of like getting yourself out of trouble and then immediately putting yourself back in trouble. I think that's sort of
just. It's like when you would play tag as a kid, and then obviously that one kid who'd be like on the base and like just keep walking out to taunt you, and then as soon as you like make the move, they take like the 4 steps back. Then you take the 1 step, they take 5.
Yeah, you know.
But then they'd start coming back out as soon as you turn your back.
If I could learn to quit while I'm ahead and keep my mouth shut, probably would serve me well in life. But
it'd make you a worse podcast guest.
That's debatable. It'd make me a worse guest on this podcast. But
yes, it's true.
Other podcasts, I don't know. I'm not gonna listen to it anyway. I hate the sound of my own voice, especially right now. I'm all stuffed up with allergies.
Mm. So, Cliff, you won a Grammy.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are a lot of people who want to know, like, how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Are you going for the EGOT?
Are you going for the EGOT versus the first and foremost?
Or do you not want to say yet, but you're going to see, like, can I snag another one, and then maybe I need to start making moves? Or?
Well, I don't know what an EGOT is, but if somebody wanted to give me one, that'd be great.
See if you get an Emmy, an Oscar, a Grammy, and a Tony, not necessarily in that order, for spelling or for getting them.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You never know.
That's true.
But you're in that you never know stage. You're not like, this isn't my goal.
Seeing as I couldn't act my way out of a wet paper bag.
Well, it doesn't have to be for acting. It could be for music, for all of them. You could be like part of the, you know, part of the like written book or something, or part of the, or like performing the music or.
Well, if Griff gets nominated for some Oscar for soundtrack, mm-hmm. I maybe could latch onto his coattails and get the part of the EGOT by proxy.
Tony's tricky because you really got to be kind of in New York to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I was there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And if they didn't notice me, that's their fault.
But again, there are all sorts of categories. Like maybe for like a, you know, it could be like a one-time show that wins something.
And you know what? We played one show in New York. That I believe makes me eligible, and I think we should win.
Yeah. A lot of people
because have asked. I remembered my drumsticks that night.
So you guys vote for them.
a lot of people have asked me, what's the best drum?
The best drum?
Yeah, I mean, you've got like five, right?
Yeah.
There.
Well,
if it's too hard, you can give us your drum Rushmore, your top four.
I have four drums. Neil Peart had 75.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big fan of the kick drum. It all starts with the kick drum.
It all starts with the kick drum.
The kick hits on the one, on the downbeat, and you've got to have a downbeat in order to have an upbeat that makes any sense. So I'm going to go with the thing that makes the downbeat.
That makes sense. If you could have four drums, what drums would you have?
I would have
a kick drum. Have cymbals in there with the drums.
Oh, I have... Ooh.
So are you saying cymbals count as drums?
I mean, I don't know what...
Percussion instruments, I guess, maybe.
Okay, in that case, I would take a kick drum, a snare drum, a ride / crash cymbal, and hi-hat or floor tom. I'd take a floor tom.
Okay, if you were going on a first date and you really wanted to impress someone, what are the two drums you'd take?
Well, if I was going on a first date and wanted to impress someone, I would not even mention drums.
But no, it's a drum date. You're going on like she's got drums or they've got drums. I mean, I'm not gonna.
You've been set up through some kind of thing, but it's like bring something that lets them know what you're into.
I guess it'd have to be kick and snare. You got to have the boom the tap.
Yeah.
I respect you not going with the answer that most people would have, which is those drums that Desi Arnaz would wear when he played Babaloo.
Yeah. Or the marching cymbals that you like.
Exactly.
Or the marching cymbals that you wear between your knees while you're playing other drums, so you can still do the cymbal.
Right.
Like in a one man band.
Or, you know, sitting there at dinner with the date and like, yeah, so I just flew in and boy, my arm.
So let me ask you this question.
No, wait a second. One second. You've asked him a lot of questions. I've got a question.
I want to ask one more question. All right, fine.
Okay, like just because, like, the worst thing that can happen is you don't have any sticks. Do you like hide sticks all over the place so that you always have sticks on hand? Like, is your house just like sticks tucked into all kinds of places? The way that like a paranoid person hides guns or an alcoholic hides booze.
Not quite that bad, but yes, I have two places where I.
Do you have any stick holsters that you like wear under your coat for quick stick action? You need sticks right now.
Not until tomorrow. I haven't, but now you've given me a really good
somebody.
Idea.
So you know, Christmas is a ways away, but you're saying he doesn't have stick holsters. So
I don't. But no,
you can get him the shoulder stick holsters, the side stick holsters. Get him some maybe the little stick garters to go low down there for the secret sticks that nobody can see.
When I'm out west.
And so, like, especially if you're maybe getting you're getting a little sexy, but you don't want to lose your sticks. You're like, I'll take off the shoulder, taking off the belt with my side sticks, but I still got those garter sticks just in case.
Just you never know, man.
Okay.
So
that's my sorry. I want especially that's just a marketing corner too. I don't know how easy it is to find shoulder stick holsters or garter sticks, but if they don't exist, dibs. We're making them.
Well, I sort of feel that you should probably get on filing that trademark tomorrow because somebody's going to hear this and think that is the greatest.
You at least owe us. You owe us a cut. You owe us a cut. If you guys want to do the legwork and most of the. You know, the risk, like, that's cool. We just need we need a taste.
Yeah. I'm you know, willing to give these all a try, but I'm more than happy keeping the sticks in my hardware case.
Yeah.
And having some emergency sticks that I keep on the windowsill in my apartment, just in case something comes up where it's like, hey, can you come do this right now? Like, oh, I could. Are there drums there already? Yes, there are. Great. And I can grab a couple of sticks and go do something right then.
Okay.
I've got an actual question that somebody who maybe like cared about.
I'm sorry, was my question.
No,
not
I mean
good?
I feel like it was good. It was just like sort of
I think we learned a lot.
Oh, but
and we got a stealth
great.
Marketing
I think
corner.
Mine is great.
Okay. Listeners, after this question, I just want you to hashtag Will's question or hashtag DD Will's question, hashtag DD Nelson's question. What's the better question?
It's my question is, you know, you have supported bands in your career, such as Deerhoof, that you find like really, really interesting to you. What is your aesthetic as a musician that like, because I've listened to Deerhoof. It takes a little getting used to it. It's not the easiest music to like immediately like. What do you look for in a band that you like?
I don't know. It kind of depends. I've tried to pigeonhole what I like and what I don't to make it easier to find music so I can like sort of to make it easier to wade through crap to get to the stuff I like to be, you know, like wish I could listen to 5 seconds of something, be like, nope, don't like this. I don't know. There's something that either speaks to me or doesn't. In the case of Deerhoof, they speak very loudly to me. And I don't know. I think they're great. And so I like other music that I think is great. but it's a random assortment of stuff.
So are there any bands right now that people should be listening to that they're maybe not listening to that you'd recommend?
Well, Deerhoof would be one. I think a band that's continued to be great that a lot of people have sort of ignored because they had a bunch of hits right out of the gate that got a little bit oversaturated and people didn't bother following their career since, but a band that continues to make very interesting and very different records each time out would be MGMT. Their new record is really amazing and really unlike any of the other records they've made and unlike any other record that exists. I mean, that's, I don't know. There are probably tons if I had time to think about it, but, you know, MGMT is like the newest record I bought and I've been listening to it a bunch and it's good.
Sweet. Thank you. We put you on the spot there. I put you on the spot.
And I do have to say, Greg from Deerhoof has his first solo record coming out soon. And it's amazing. I've also been obsessed with it. But it's not out till, I don't know, maybe in a couple of weeks. But if you have heard Deerhoof and like the poppier side of Deerhoof, I think you'd find Greg's album to be really great because it's a very, I don't know. It's an awesome album, but it's also very poppy. But I also think Deerhoof's really poppy and a lot of people think they're just weird. So what do I know?
So you say like vibes is a big thing for the bands that are going to strike your fancy. It's like it's a thing about them, not necessarily like a very specific like musical taste or inclination or proficiency or vibe. Is vibes the strongest thing?
I think melodies and hooks end up being the strongest thing. But as far as my continued interest in a band, I like the bands that keep me on my toes. That say like Deerhoof, that every record is different, like only Deerhoof could make a Deerhoof record, and you hear that in a Deerhoof record, but like, so like I happen to know that they started recording a new record shortly before this tour that they just did, and I'm very excited to hear it because I have no idea what it's going to sound like, and it might be something that grabs me on the first listen. It might take me 5 listens before I understand it. Or like MGMT that I just brought up, that, you know, the first album loaded with these, synth pop, for lack of a better term, like hits. And then they make the second record that just sounds like a weird psychedelic rock band. And then their third album is like way psychedelic and just like, what the fuck is going on here? But it's amazing. And, you know, just like, I would go back to a band that I was in, like before I was in the Flaming Lips, what kept me such a fan is that from album to album, it's like, wait, is this the same band that made that? Like, what the hell is going on here? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I guess I gravitate towards things that I've got to put a little bit of work into. And then I guess that makes it feel like part mind. I don't know.
It engages you more.
Yeah.
Than just the I like this, but it's like okay, this makes me think a little.
Right, but to use AC/DC as an example, and I happen to like early AC/DC a lot,
mm-hmm.
but you really only need 3 AC/DC records, mm-hmm. and if AC/DC puts out a record tomorrow, you already know what it's going to sound like. I know what it's going to sound like, and I don't care.
It's a band where it's like you grab the greatest hits record. You don't necessarily need to get the albums,
right?
Yeah,
you want the songs you want, but you're probably not missing a lot of hidden gems,
right? And so,
or at least nothing that sounds different than the things you're already getting.
Yeah, and so I like the Yola Tingos, the Deer Hoofs, the the whatever that there are a couple of Yola Tingo records that.
They definitely
I didn't like until like 5 years after the fact. Like Summer Sun, when it came out, I was like, wow, these guys have really fallen off. Damn, what a bummer. I guess Yola Tingo and I have broken up. And we didn't because the next album grabbed me right away. But a couple years later, I go back to Summer Sun and like, wow, this is actually an amazing record. I just wasn't ready for it at the time.
I feel like that happens sometimes with a lot of stuff where like a movie or a show where you just like, you're not into it, but it was more like just weren't in the mood for that type of a thing. And maybe it was something a little more complicated too. So you just like give it a pass and then catch it later. And you're like, oh, okay, this is at least better than I thought it was. Like,
yeah. So, yeah,
I think that's interesting, as I feel like that's a thing, say, for, like, watching a show or a movie that'll get me more, because it's like, make me think a little, like, do some stuff that I don't expect you to do, and you're going to impress me more, and I'm going to like it more on that level.
Right.
Even more than, like, a thing that's just super well-crafted, but is maybe not something that's anything unexpected.
We probably ought to close out.
Oh, but, yeah.
Hey, Cliff, would anything you want to like promote before we shoot off into this good night?
I would like to promote your restroom as soon as you hit pause on this because my tiny bladder is screaming at me. I must say Nelson's bathroom, used it once. Mm-hmm. It is awesome. I can't wait to go use it again.
There you go. Hashtag Nelson's bathroom. Let us know what you thought.
Nelson's bathroom. Double deuce.
This has been Double Deuce Podcast. If you thought the intro sounded bad, this outro sounds even worse.
Thanks for listening. I don't know how you did, but if you're trying to listen to more, we're everywhere. Libsyn, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, fucking everywhere.
That's right. Wherever fine podcasts are made, we'll be there. Also, you can reach out to us on social medias. We're at Double Deuce Pod on Twitter. We're at Double Deuce Podcast on Facebook, and our email is doubledeucepod@gmail.com. Finally, if you want to support us, get our Patreon on patreon.com/doubledeucepod.
Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff on there. We got me talking about things I'm seeing. We got extra minis, like the minis you find in the deck of deuces. We got Will singing. Or if you want to pay for him not to sing, there is a way to pay for no singing. The world's your oyster. All kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
So much stuff.
That's patreon.com/doubledeucepod. Yeah!
Yeah! Sorry, when you're like, wherever fine podcasts are found, I just kept thinking about that Tom Jones speech at the end of Grape's Wrath. It's like, whatever, there's a cop beating on a fine podcast. We'll be there. Double deuce.
Good episode.